You're listening to SBS News.
The Al-Hol and Roj refugee camps in northeast Syria is home to thousands of refugees, including dozens of Australian women and children who've been detained in the camps since the fall of the Islamic State in 2019. Now, in a move welcomed by human rights groups, the federal government is set to bring home the more than 40 children and about 20 women who've spent the last few years living in limbo. The CEO of Save the Children's Australian arm, Matt Tinkler, has himself visited the camps and seen the human toll.
They just want to come home. They're desperate. They're traumatised. They've had no hope, really, for the last 3.5 years. They're willing to do whatever it takes to get home here to Australia. And when I looked into the eyes of those innocent children and I saw their malnourished state of affairs, their stunted growth, I knew that they are just hanging on. So this can't come soon enough as far as those women and innocent children are concerned.
News of the government's intentions were leaked over the weekend and confirmed today. The details of the repatriation are being tightly held, with Home Affairs Minister Claire O'Neill saying in a statement,
"The Australian government's overriding priority is the protection of Australians and Australia's national interests, informed by national security advice."
Many of the women who travelled to Syria were tricked, coerced or taken against will by their husbands, who went to fight for IS and have since died. Sophie McNeil from Human Rights Watch says that bringing these women and children home has been a hard-fought battle.
"We welcome this. It's something that Human Rights Watch and other groups like Save the Children have been calling on the government to do for years. It really does, you know, if it goes ahead, it shows incredible leadership from the Albanese government and from the Minister Claire O'Neill, because this is something the previous government refused to do."
During his prime ministership, Scott Morrison had remained defiant in the face of repeated pleas from both families and advocates to repatriate those trapped, often citing the threat that they may be radicalised and dangerous.
"Well, I'm not going to put one Australian life at risk to try and extract people from these dangerous situations. I think it's even more despicable that they put their children in the middle of it."
But critics say he was putting Australian lives at risk by leaving citizens in what Labor front bencher Tanya Plibersek told Channel 7 this morning was one of the most dangerous places in the world.
"We've got about 40 Australian kids living in one of the most dangerous places on earth in a refugee camp. Some of the women, some of the mothers were taken there as little more than children themselves and married off to IS fighters. Some of them tricked, some of them forced to go there."
Matt Tinkler agrees.
"These innocent children and their mothers have been suffering in one of the worst places in the world to be a child for over 3.5 years now. I visited these camps myself in June and the conditions are truly desperate. So it's a matter of time before an Australian child dies if they are not evacuated to safety urgently. And the only place that we can guarantee their safety is here at home in Australia. They've been through hell. They've lived through war. Many of the children have untreated shrapnel wounds. The conditions there are very desperate. It's over 45 degrees Celsius in the summer. It's freezing temperatures in the winter. These camps are made in the middle of an oil field. So there's oil wells pumping away in the background and noxious fumes coming through. It's truly a terrible place to be."
It's unclear when rescue operations will take place or how many are planned. Shadow Home Affairs Minister Karen Andrews has sought a briefing from the government, but says the mission is fraught with danger and shouldn't go ahead.
"The action that the government is taking puts Australians at an unnecessary risk. That is, those people who are going over to be part of the mission to bring these people back from Syria, but also the communities in which they will be living when they return to Australia."
But experts say if safely rescued, this group will be closely monitored by security agencies. Clark Jones, a criminologist at the Australian National University, has worked for 2 years on a plan to safely return these women and children back home to their families.
"I think I've seen opposition leader Peter Dutton talk about that they could come back and cause some sort of mass casualty. I'm not in agreement with that sort of type of position. I think it would be naive to say that there is no risk whatsoever. And being well aware of this situation over the last 2 or 3 years and working with members of the family group and some of the international families, we do understand that there's going to be some risk. But we don't know the extent of that. I think the children, are totally innocent players in this. And the women, I think the majority of them probably will be okay, but we'll leave it up to the security and police agencies.
He says support services for those returning will be crucial given the traumatic environment that they've been living in.
The children have, you know, I've got to say that the children and the women have been exposed to some very dire circumstances. So once again, the mental health side of aspects is going to have to be watched and assessed by the appropriately trained people. So I think psychologists and psychiatrists will play a large role in the support mechanisms.
Tanya Plibersek says that there would be ongoing mental health support for those repatriated, as well as ongoing monitoring by security forces.
When they come back to Australia, I think it's going to be very important that the children in particular receive counselling. But I think for everybody involved, there will be an ongoing expectation that our security and intelligence agencies will stay in contact with them and monitor them. I don't think that's going to come as any surprise to anyone.
The model designed for use to bring these women and children home is already being used in Morocco, Belgium and France. In July, France brought home 51 women and children from the camps, and a month earlier, Belgium repatriated 16 of their nationals. Tina Quinn, SBS News.